You're locked on The Big Show with Will Nault and Logan Gordon. Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Hour 2 is underway. You missed anything from Hour 1, don't forget you can subscribe to our podcasts. Available wherever you get your podcasts. Spotify, Apple, Google, and Amazon. Subscribe now and never miss a moment. Never miss a guest. And don't be afraid to leave us a comment. Maybe it's about Logan's hair.
Whoa.
Feel like a shot?
Maybe.
Is that a fresh cut?
No. Just got lazy with it today.
Should let it grow.
Maybe.
Ever let your hair just go? What's the longest you've gone without a haircut?
Probably like 6 months.
And how long did it get?
Didn't get that long.
Really?
No.
Interesting. That's okay.
Imagine Tommy almost ever get pretty long.
We'll see. We'll ask him. By the way, we're live in the Iconic Electric and Controls downtown studio. Currently hiring electricians, instrumentation, and telecommunication technicians, and more. Apply at iconicec.ca/careers. We are on the eve of Super Wildcard Weekend in the NFL. I said before the break that if you were a sports bettor, you'd want to be tuned in next as we bring in a new Friday edition or Friday regular. He is Jordan Tamayama. You might know him as Sportsnet 960's web guy, but he also likes to say that he is a gambling aficionado, and he joins us right now. Hello, JT.
How's it going?
Good. How are you, buddy?
I'm good. Exciting weekend of football. Got to coach high school basketball for the first time in 3 weeks yesterday. So
Woo! Things
are turning around slowly. I think.
Are we talking about a win back to the coaching sidelines? What happened last night?
Yep, a win. Stayed undefeated. 3-point victory. So we're missing
nail biter
starters. We're missing three starters. So all credit goes to the coaches. I think that's how it goes. So, but no. No, it was a good return to the court, that's for sure. So.
Hope you didn't break your arm patting yourself on the back there.
No.
It's good.
I'm humble in victory.
That's right. It's good to hear. Well, it's good to see the kids are back on the court. I know it's been a tough time. As much as we talk about pro sports starting and stopping, it's been a tough time for children in the pandemic as well. So kudos to you, first of all, as I know that you've been coaching for a long time and have given up a lot of your time. So kudos to you. And happy that you've gotten back with a victory, and I wish you luck the rest of the way. As for, actually, maybe a nice transition, we'll stick with basketball first. You've got some picks on tonight's hard court, and let's start with the Boston Celtics, Jordan.
Yeah, they're against the 76ers today. They've won 3 straight games, and they're 2-1 against spread in those games. Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum, they've kind of they had a slow start, but they kind of figured out how to coexist, and they've scored 20 points in 2 straight games. The season series between these teams is 1-1. The 76ers, they got crushed their last game, and they still have some injury issues, and they're obviously without Ben Simmons. So I like the Celtics in this one.
Has betting been more difficult in the last, I guess, 3 weeks, as we've seen not only in the NHL, but the NBA for sure? The NFL has been a little bit easier to get players back because they only play the one time a week. But has it been difficult to, you know, track who's been in, who's out? Because injuries are one thing. COVID's a complete different animal that we've got no control over.
Yeah, for sure. I think 2 weeks ago, kind of when the Raptors were like, they're playing 8 players and signing like 5 people to hardship contracts. Kind of during that surge of Omicron, you had to really check the injury report because you never knew who was playing. Like Joe Johnson was actually getting minutes. Like Isaiah Thomas was getting minutes. So I think 2 weeks ago, it was really hard to know who was in, who was out. But I think most teams have kind of gone through their COVID phase, similar to the Flames. So the lineups are a bit more consistent now. But you always have to check kind of like with the Nets and Kyrie, like, is he playing? Is he not playing? So I think especially with those type of teams, but I guess in the last week or so, the lineups have become a bit more consistent. But yeah, it just in general, you still have to check because you never know who's in and who's out. But especially with basketball, it was a bit tougher, but recently it's become more consistent. So that's been all right.
Sticking with the NBA, you've got a two-game parlay tonight, I believe. We'll start with the Raptors, as you've got them over the Detroit Pistons.
Yeah, the Pistons, they're not a very good team, but they seem to have the Raptors' number the past four games. Dwayne Casey's got four straight wins against them, but the Raptors, they're healthy now. They're playing pretty high-level basketball, and the Pistons, they're hurt right now. They're missing a few starters. So I'd go with the Raptors. They've won five of their last six games. And then if you parlay that with the Cavaliers, who are at minus 160, it's around plus 100. So if you bet 25, you win your money back and 25 more. The Cavaliers, they've been they're one of the best stories in the NBA. They're one of the top teams in the Eastern Conference. Evan Mobley, their first-round pick, he's one of the best players in that draft class. He can guard all five positions. And the Spurs, they're really struggling. They've lost four in a row and are missing Derek White to COVID protocol, so I'd parlay those two games.
No no Raptor. I know they're not at home tonight, but there's no Devin Booker, Raptors mascot, the prop bets we can bet on?
No, that was one of the more ridiculous things I think I've seen in the COVID era, but yeah, no Raptor prop bets in that sense.
He's Jordan Tamayama. He is, of course, all things web here for us at Sportsnet 960, but he's also a guy that knows a thing or two when it comes to sports gambling, and we're talking all things NBA, and now as you transition into the NFL, of course, super wild card weekend, six games on the schedule. I was a little disappointed you didn't have all six on your list here. Are you scared of some of these spreads? What's going on?
I am. I was scared. I was going to maybe do the 49ers-Cowboys game, but Jimmy G scares me, and the Cowboys' offense can be pretty hit-miss, so I just went with the – I guess they'd be almost four underdogs. But, yeah, some of those games, and especially, like, the Chiefs game with I think that's 14-point spread.
Yeah, 13.5, I think, so.
Yeah, I'll stick with the more consistent games.
Well, let's start as you've got the first game on the weekend. It is 2:30 kickoff tomorrow in Cincy. The Raiders – and the Bengals, of course, the Raiders have been through so much this year. This line has moved a little bit. Earlier in the week, I believe it was at 4. Now we've got 5.5, but you like the Raiders at 5.5. Did you like them at 4, or do you like them now that it is 5.5?
I think 5.5 adds a little more incentive to get it. I guess 4.5 is still they'd lose by more than field goal, but yeah, I think at +5.5, the Raiders, they're really hot right now. They've won four in a row, and they're 3-1 against the spread in those games. And their last three games have been won or lost by 4 points or less. So I think just with Joe Burrow hasn't really been there in the playoffs. Derek Carr hasn't either, but I think it's more of a veteran-laden team on the Raiders. And I honestly think that Carr, he could be in the MVP conversation, and their coach, Rich Bisacci, could be for coach of the year just because of how those two have kind of kept things on the rail. And I think they'll be okay. And I think they'll be able to cover the 5.5, but I think that'll be one of the best games of the super wild card weekend.
Yeah. You got to have the super in there. You can't just say wild card weekend. I like that. Good on you for emphasizing the super. On Saturday night, it's an AFC East showdown in Buffalo. I believe it's going to be cold, but it's not going to be like what we saw a few weeks ago with that crazy snow and crazy wind. So I do think Mac Jones is going to have to throw the football more than three times. And I'm interested in your reasoning for your pick here, because I got to be honest, I have the Bills to cover, but you've got the Patriots +4.5 here.
Yeah, I just trust Bill Belichick in these types of situations. I think he's just kind of built for these types of games. I know the Bills, they do have that explosive offense, but just having them, I think when the Bills see the Patriots, I think it's kind of like the boogeyman. They just don't want anything to deal with them. So I'm going to trust Bill Belichick to come up with that defensive game plan. And I think Mac Jones, he will have to pass him more, but it'll just be such a run-heavy game that 4.5, it comes down to a last-second field goal or maybe a last-second drive. But I'm just going with Bill Belichick simply on this one.
And then our first ever NFL playoff game on a Monday. It's a divisional matchup, just like the one we just talked about. This time it's the NFC West. Cardinals going to get J.J. Watt back, and I think that plays into you having the Cardinals at +4.
Yeah, I think this game, it'll come down between quarterback play and offensive line for each team. Matt Stafford, he has thrown for tons of yards this year, but he's been struggling turning over the ball in the last five games. He has 8 interceptions, giving, I think, Sean McVay seeing flashbacks of Jared Goff. So I think
the disrespect for Stafford.
The Cardinals defense will be putting pressure on him, and I think he hasn't been in the playoffs really, and I think the Cardinals will pounce on that. Kyler Murray, he's thrown 0 INTs in the last 3 games, and the season series is 1-1, but J.J. Watt is bat for the Cardinals. So I think if the Arizona can get the run game going, they'll win or at least cover the spread, and the Cardinals are 10-7 against the spread this season.
So there you go. Quick recap, JT, for those that missed it on your picks. Just run through them all real quickly for anybody who missed them.
Yeah, Raiders plus 5.5 at minus 110. The Patriots plus 4.5 at 110. And the Cardinals at plus 4 at 110 again. And then for NBA, I got the Celtics at plus 4. They're at minus 120. And then a parlay with the Raptors and Cavs, which is plus 100, which pays out double your money.
Good stuff, my friend. We'll do this every Friday from here on out, unless your record gets really bad, so no pressure.
Yeah, I can take a week off if it's too bad.
I like it. Thanks, Jordan. Have a good weekend, man. We'll talk to you next Friday.
You too.
There he is, Jordan Tamiyama, our let's go with betting expert. We can give him that title. He's our big show betting expert, and unless his record is like us on the locks of the week logo, and then we'll take the expert out of his title.
Yeah, as long as he performs well, he can remain the expert.
It's a pretty good start, though. He's got some NFL picks in there for you. If you missed it, it'll be posted online. And, it should be a fun weekend when it comes to the NFL. And if you want to get in on the action early, he's got a couple of NBA picks for you this evening as well. Jordan joined us on the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline. Come on in and enjoy hockey and football game day specials at 6060 Memorial Drive at Northeast. Pickup and delivery also available at Atlas Pizza, 403-248-3344. Here he is, Logan Gordon. My name is Will Nault, and let's dive in. Speaking of locks of the week, we're not going to call them the locks of the week because we're not just picking one. We are going to pick all 6, and we'll see whose record at the end of the playoffs is better between Logan and myself. We did not do a coin flip, my friend, but I will give up first pick to you. We'll go with Raiders and Bengals, and keep in mind, because there are 6 games, we don't have to go opposite on all 6. I do think we'll probably be the same for a lot of these here, but let's go what the latest is with our friends at Sports Interaction. Again, all the action there for you at sportsinteraction.com, you can check out the latest there. You can even put some money down, and let's kick things off with a 2:30 start in Cincy, the Bengals, the Raiders, the home side, favored by 5.5. A lot of people we've talked to this week, Logan, have been on the Raiders. What say you, Raiders, Bengals, Cincy favored by 5.5?
I'm going to take the Bengals at home. That 5.5 number does not scare me. I think they are the better team. I think emotionally, Las Vegas put a lot into last week to beat the Chargers, and I think they're going to come back down the earth. I go back to that game against the Kansas City Chiefs and a real show of what this Bengals offense can do with Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase, T. Higgins, all those sort of guys. I think they can beat the Raiders by more than 5.5 points. That's where I'm going to go for that first game on Saturday afternoon.
Would it scare you if it was 6.5? Like, are we talking a touchdown here? Or is that where your comfort level is? Like, it's 6.5, you might be a little more scared?
Yeah. I think that's probably the number. 5.5, I think, is a number they can handle. Especially at home.
I'm going to take Cincy as well, minus 5.5. I think what you talked about in terms of the emotional win last week was certainly a lot. I don't think this is a blowout by any means, but if you're telling me Cincy can win by 6, yeah, I'm going to take that, especially when you factor in they've got to fly cross country. And let's not forget, Vegas was the final team off the field on week 18. Mm. The first team on the field in the wild card
short
weekend.
Week.
So a short week for the Raiders. They got to go cross country. Yeah, I take the Bengals as well here, minus 5.5. Buffalo Bills and New England Patriots. I like the home side, minus 4.5 here. As much as I know Bill Belichick is a game planning freak and a game planning genius, I just don't think I've got enough confidence in Mac Jones. And their defense has not been playing as well the last, what, 3, 4, 5 weeks. So all that being put into one, the way Josh Allen has played, and you look at the way the game went in Foxborough a couple of weeks ago, that was one of the best games of career for Josh Allen. And I know that in the last, what, decade plus, one of the hardest places to win in the NFL has been Foxborough. For them to go in there and do that, I really liked it. And I also like it to play into tomorrow night's game, because then we're not talking about a snowstorm and what we saw like a month ago in Buffalo.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's going to be cold, but it's not going to be, you know, a snow globe, and it's not going to be super windy. So Mac Jones is going to have to make a couple of big throws to win. And if he's asked to play from behind, I don't like the Patriots' chances. So I'm going to take the Buffalo Bills -4.5.
I think the Bills win this. I don't doubt that. I think with enough planning time, with seeing them a third time, that the Patriots can keep it within the spread. So I'm going to take the Patriots +4.5. Buffalo wins the game in my mind. I don't doubt that. But I just think with a more competent quarterback than Cam Newton, the planning, the fact that I don't think it's going to be a very high-scoring game because of the weather. I don't think it's going to, like, you're right. It's not going to be what it was a couple of months, a month ago. Like, that was one of those games where it was hard to play football. I don't think it's going to be hard to play football. I think it'll be a little bit more difficult. It might suppress some of the passing offense. But I'm going to take the Patriots to stay within that 4.5 of Buffalo. That's my pick on the game. I do think the Bills win it, though.
Eagles and Buccaneers from the home of the defending Super Bowl champions. That kicks off the triple header on Sunday. You got the Bucs favored by 9. Our first big number of the weekend. Do the Buccaneers cover 9 points, Logan?
Yes, they do. I'm going to take the Bucs -9 in this situation. To me, the biggest mismatches, or I don't even know the biggest mismatch, the biggest strength of the Buccaneers defense is their defensive line. Their defensive front causes such havoc. They're going to have Shaq Barrett back. That's going to make a massive difference when it comes to toning down what Jalen Hurts is able to do offensively. This is a Bucs team that has Super Bowl aspirations. I think it's a good season for the Eagles to be in this spot. A lot of people didn't have them here, but I just don't see this being a good draw for them at home for Tampa Bay in a situation where Tom Brady and company are feeling pretty good about themselves. I think they should be able to reach the 9 pretty easily. It's a number I don't love. It's a big number, but just given everything I've seen from these two teams this season, I can't not go Tampa Bay -9.
Oh, man, I want to be different than you, and I do look at the 9 and kind of wonder about a backdoor cover and how scary that can be, especially in the playoffs. 9's a big number, but I just don't have faith in Jalen Hurts' ability to throw the football. And I think with Tampa's front 7, especially getting Lavonte David back, which looks like he will play in this game, I just don't know how much time Hurts is going to have.
I just think he's going to be under duress.
And as athletic and dangerous as he is as a runner, I just think there's only so much you can do. And kind of what I just talked about with Mac Jones, probably 95, if not 100% of this game, the Eagles and Jalen Hurts will be playing from behind. And I just don't know if you can have the same type of success. And I think he's going to have to throw it more than he wants to just based on, you know, what the game script tells you. So I'll take the Buccaneers -9. I don't love it, but I love it more than leading Eagles and the +9. Again, I know the dangers of a backdoor cover in this situation, but I'm still going to take the Buccaneers -9. And I've got faith in that defense. And I know on the other side, the Buccaneers have been hammered with offensive injuries. They lost Antonio Brown, which was out of their control. Chris Godwin is gone. It looks like Leonard Fournette is back. So again, they're not as strong, but I think Gronkowski is going to have a big game, and I'll take the Buccaneers -9. 49ers in Dallas taking on the Cowboys in the middle game of that Sunday triple header. I'm going to jump on the wagon that a lot of people have already talked about. If there's going to be one road team that I've got full confidence in to win this weekend, it's the 49ers. I'll take San Fran +3 in this situation. I think they win the game. I'd even like them on the money line here. I just think that the way they closed things out and won the game in L.A. last weekend was huge. Their defense and their, more importantly, Their defensive line and their pass rush has been one of the best in the NFL the last month as they've got everybody back. Deebo Samuel is an assassin, and Jimmy Garoppolo just has to do enough to beat the Dallas Cowboys, and for all of those reasons, and let's not forget, there's a lot of conversation right now with the Dallas Cowboys and Dan Quinn and Kellen Moore and potential head coaching jobs, and I think that plays a role into maybe a bit of a distraction going into this game. So I will take the Niners plus three over the Dallas Cowboys.
I'll go opposite of you here. I've got the Cowboys minus three. I've been burned so many times by Dallas. And so
why not get burned again?
We're just going to go again. I just look at it and I think there's got to be a time when this group breaks through with Amari Cooper and CeeDee Lamb. I think Micah Parsons gives them every fighting shot on defense. I think it's the closest game by far that we're going to see all weekend. It's going to be a good game. I know that either way. I think the point spread is right on the money here. When you're talking about a field goal being the difference between these two teams. I think Dallas is my most uncomfortable one because I just think Dallas has been burned so many times and they burned so many people in these playoff scenarios when the pressure's on. But at home, with those offensive weapons, I think they can get it done. I'll go Cowboys minus three.
All right. I like that. Your first pick line for the Sunday Nighter. It is the biggest line going into the weekend. Chiefs minus 13. They're at home to Pittsburgh.
Oh, this is the line I hate the most. The Steelers are so bad. Like, they shouldn't be here at all.
Okay, Ben.
But, yeah, exactly. But that's what I mean. Is that's all he said. Oh, it's just going to be fun. We're just going to go out there and play the game. Oh, God, I hate this one. KC minus 13. That's what I'm going to take. KC minus 13.
Just don't overthink it, man. Don't overthink it. Big Ben in the offense is not going to put up points. The only way this thing is not KC minus 13 is if they can control the ball with Najee Harris. And that is a bit of a concern for me. We've seen the Chiefs defense be up and down this year. It's been more up lately, but if the Steelers can control the clock and can control the time of possession, I don't know if the Chiefs can cover 13. But in this game, and just knowing everything I know about the Steelers, I'm going to take Pittsburgh plus 13. If it was minus 10, I'd be all over the Chiefs. But what I just talked about has talked me onto the other side. I think that they have the ability to do that. Will they do it? That's no guarantee. Can Roethlisberger throw the football more than 8 yards down the field? No, he cannot. But if the run game can get going and they can control the clock a little bit, I like the Steelers here, plus 13. And certainly when you talk about a backdoor cover, I do think the Steelers have that potential. If this game were to somehow get out of hand, I still think the Steelers can maybe keep it within two touchdowns. I'll take Pittsburgh plus 13, but boy, do I not love it. Monday night, Cardinals and Rams. If I was actually putting money on that game, by the way, I just wouldn't touch it. Cardinals, no. Cardinals and Rams. I'm going to take the road team plus four here. I don't know if they win the football game, but I think if you look at the way this has unfolded between these two teams, season series is split at one apiece. I don't think either team blows each other out. I mean, I think you can make an argument for it. But both teams have kind of backed their way in here. Matthew Stafford's had some ball security issues. I think Kyler Murray is going to be ready to play. I think J.J. Watt coming back is a massive emotional boost. So I'll take the Cardinals plus four. I don't know if they win, but I do think they can keep it within four.
I'm going to go with the home team minus four. I'm going to go Rams minus four in this one. I've down-talked the Cardinals, sort of limping their way into the playoffs. I think the Rams are built for this. This is their year that they feel that it's a go for it. I think Matthew Stafford is going to be comfortable at home. I like their offensive weapons. I like how they've been able to integrate OBJ into that lineup without Robert Woods. Cooper Kupp is still the best receiver in the league this year. I think they're going to be able to win this game. I think they can, if this was the same line as the Cowboys and the 49ers, I might go the other way. But I'm going to stick with the Rams minus four at home. I think this is a team that knows it's got Super Bowl expectations, so I'm going to go LA minus four.
All right, there you go. There's our picks of Super Wild Card Weekend. I've got the Bengals -5.5, the Bills -4.5, the Eagles. I've got the Buccaneers -9. Sorry, I've got the other big spread. Dallas Cowboys, I don't have them. I've got the Niners +3. Kansas City, nope, not going to cover 13. I've got Pittsburgh +13, and I've got the Arizona Cardinals +4. Logan, your recap?
I am going with the Bengals -5.5. I will take the Patriots +4.5 in Buffalo. The Buffalo's going to win the game. I am going with the Bucks -9. I'll take the Cowboys -3 at home over the 49ers. KC -13 and the Rams -4 at home.
So we've got some differences here. We're going to have some vastly different records. Monday, we'll recap it all on Monday's program. Of course, we will have one game remaining because for the first time in NFL history, they've got a playoff game on a Monday. We're looking forward to that closeout with the Rams and the Cardinals. And we'll have more on that game, of course, on Monday's program. He is Logan Gordon. My name is Will Nault. We're live in the Iconic Electric and Controls downtown studio. We'll take a break. When we come back, more football conversation. We'll ask Derek who he's got to win the Super Bowl. But also, of course, he is back with the Calgary Stampeders. Derek Dennis, the Bone Crusher, joins us next. Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
This is The Big Show with Will Nault and Logan Gordon on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
So many ways to listen to The Big Show. You can do so on 960 AM on your radio. You can stream us at sportsnet.ca/960, or you can tell your smart speaker to play Sportsnet 960. You can also subscribe to us, and we encourage you to do so, as you can get us wherever you get your podcasts: Spotify, Apple Pods, Google, Amazon. Subscribe now and never miss a moment or a guest like our next guest. I'm Will Nault. He is Logan Gordon. Let me go down the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline. See nothing but love, and rightly so, on social media, which, again, is rare because social media can sometimes be such a sour place. But it's been nothing but love for our next guest, as the Calgary Stampeders announcing this week they have re-signed a familiar name. Derek Dennis is back with the Calgary Stampeders, and the Bone Crusher joins us right now. Derek, thanks for doing this, man. How are you?
I'm good. Appreciate you guys having me on.
Well, welcome back to Calgary, and I guess it's been a pretty good week for you. It's one of those weeks where you're okay to read your mentions on Twitter, huh?
I'm always good to read my mentions on Twitter. I always have fun. Social media, especially in today's climate, is always a good tool for athletes to be able to kind of build their brand, build their name, and take advantage of it in any way possible. So, but it's been a good past 2 days with my mentions, for sure.
Let's talk about how this all came together. And I guess first off, kind of walk us through what has been, I'm sure, at different times frustrating, but long process to get your release from Edmonton. And, once that was done, how did this all come together with Calgary?
Yeah, once I was, once I was made aware that I was, getting released from my deal, I just kind of reached out to Pat Delmonico, who him and I have always had a great relationship, and we've always talked outside of our football realms on a personal level. I just reached out to him and said, let him know, hey, I'm available. I'd love the opportunity to be able to come back and continue what we've built together. And Huff reached out, and we kind of got it done in a matter of about 2 or 3 days.
Talked about this a lot, whether it's yourself, Trey Roberson, Reggie Bagleton, even Bo Levi Mitchell for reworking his contract the last couple of weeks. Huffnagel's obviously been busy, but, you just talked about it. You reached out, said you'd love to be a part of it. And, there's so much talk from the outside, but would love to hear it from a guy who's been in there and has spent significant time in the organization. Derek, why is Calgary so comforting for you? And why have a lot of players, whether they've gone for a year or 2 years or 3 years, have always been thrilled to come back? What is it about the Stampeders culture that is, something that's comfortable for you?
It's just a real family environment. I think you get a chance to really build genuine relationships with people. And, a lot of people, outside of the playing football or the sporting aspect of things, building, relationships that you come from with people that you know. Professional sports is kind of a business of familiarity, right? You always see, the faces may change from place to place, but it's always still been the same faces consistently for years, right? Whether it's one place or another. So I think it's just the fact of getting back with people that you're comfortable with, people that you know, being in an environment that you know you've been successful in. You know how it works. You know how you fit into it and how you can help excel, make it excel and grow. And just, you know, just getting back to what you know, what's common, right? So I think you're seeing a lot of guys from, you know, the last couple of years when we've had a lot of success, having that opportunity to be able to come back and want to just get Calgary, play Calgary Stampeder football and get it back to where it's supposed to be.
He is Derek Dennis, who signed with the Calgary Stampeders this week. He's back in red and white, and he's our guest on Sportsnet 960. Logan?
Derek, first of all, congratulations on the deal. Welcome back to Calgary. I'm curious from your perspective last year what you made of the red and white. What did you see from the Calgary Stampeders last season, man?
I think I just saw a team that was taking a longer than usual time to gel. I think in the past, Calgary's always had a good core of athletes who have been around for a long amount of time, who have helped establish the culture and know how to just kind of acclimate newer bodies that may come in here and there in different spots. But I think you saw a roster that was kind of overhauled more than normal and a lot more younger faces than they're used to having and not so many veterans in the locker room. So you just saw a team that probably took a little bit more time to gel, understand the system, understand the mindset of what it is to be a Calgary Stampeder and how we're expected to play every week. And, you know, once it got to the middle of the season towards the end, I guess you saw it start to click for a lot of guys, and they start to go on a run and play well, and things started to look normal, right? So with no preseason, you know, shortened training camp, a lot of uncertainty going into the 21 season, it was kind of expected, right? The teams who kind of hit the floor running were the teams who had a lot more veteran presence than others, right? And the teams who didn't have as much veteran presence, it took a while to kind of get themselves into a groove and get to where they need to be, right? So I think it's just the idea of getting back a nice core of veterans, guys who know the game, who know how to play the game at a certain level, can help acclimate others and bring them up to speed so that you don't have to worry about that learning curve being so elongated.
Tell me where you're at physically. How are you feeling? I know we're a little while away from training camp still, but 2 years ago we didn't have a CFL season thanks to the pandemic, and last year after those issues with Edmonton, you didn't get a chance to suit up. How are you feeling physically heading into training camp, and are you looking forward to getting back out there with the team?
I'm feeling good, man. I'm feeling the best I've felt in a while. You know, I had some corrective procedures going into, you know, after 2019, and I guess that's where a lot of speculation was whether I could hang or not. So, but I think I should have put that to bed when I, you know, rehabbed for a month and was playing in the XFL 2-3 months later, right? So with not much rehab and just kind of rolling out the bed and going. So I've always been that type of athlete where I have supreme confidence in myself and what I can do and how I can play. And my football wear and tear is not as much as some guys, right? Some guys have been playing the game at a young age and for a long amount of times, 20, 25 years, 30 years, right? I started playing football my last year of high school, really pretty much going into college, right? So in my mind, I'm always still learning. I'm always still growing. I have a lot of football shelf life to my body. And I'm, you know, feeling good. I've been working out, you know, during the pandemic. Everything's kind of been closed, open and closing. I got a home gym. I got ways to kind of just figure out how to just keep myself moving and mobile, right? So that's something that I learned in college. Coaches always put it in my head, the idea of creative excellence, right? And that's just finding any way possible to be able to just make yourself be better. You don't need the fancy gyms. You don't need the fancy trainers, man. All you need is determination and the will to kind of get it done, right? So where I'm at mentally is I'm going into the year with the same mindset I've always had. I'm going to be the best lineman in the league. I'm going for that MOL. I'm going to keep my name in that conversation.
Talk to me about the guy that you'll protect his blind side more than likely next season. That's Bo Levi Mitchell. I guess just some of the talk last year around the CFL was that maybe Bo is past his prime, that maybe the shoulder issues have caught up with him after, I don't even want to say a subpar season, but maybe a season that was under the standard that Bo had set for himself the last couple of years, being an MOP and an all-star for so long. What did you see from number 19 last year, and what are you expecting from him this year?
I saw a guy who was just who's what he's always been. He's a gamer, somebody who takes a lot of pride in his performance and how he prepares. And I think just with the heightened expectations of the team and him being that veteran, being that leader, and not having as many guys to help kind of help right the ship in the right direction, and then having to deal with his injuries and stuff like that, I think you just saw just something a form of adversity that he probably just wasn't he never dealt with before, right? And not saying that he couldn't handle it, but because of the climate of everything with the shortened training camps and no preseason games and no time to kind of get himself properly acclimated to get ready, you just saw a lot of guys just not have that same window that they're used to having to be able to prepare and get ready, right? So I think what people are going to see from Bo Levi going into this next season is the same guy that they've all known and loved for years, right? And I think with him, I know him. I know he has a chip on his shoulder. I know he's itching to prove people that he's still that same guy, same way that I'm going into the season. So I'm looking forward to it, man. I'm Bo's a really good friend of mine, man. I always keep in contact with my guys. I always been sending him texts throughout the season just saying, hey, man, I know you're going to get it right. Don't worry about it. Don't let that outside noise get to you, man. Just keep doing what you do. And I'm looking forward to seeing him tear it up for this next season.
What have you made of the news the last couple of weeks to see a couple of guys specifically who took their talents to the NFL for a bit re-up with the red and white? I loved what you mentioned to Will about Calgary feeling at home in a place where guys can really be themselves and focus on football and focus on being a team and a championship team. But what does it mean for you when you see guys like Trey Roberson, like Reggie Bagleton come back from the NFL and re-up with the red and white in Calgary and be part of this team for next year?
It's big, man. Those are guys who coming into the league didn't really have much of a name. People didn't know who they were, and they were able to show their talents and excel being in that environment, right? So it's just natural to want to go back to the place that you know, where you know the system, you know the coaches, you know the players, you know the city. It's a comfort level, right? And again, everything in sports is about the only way you kind of able to excel is to go somewhere where you have confidence and that you know you're going to get coached to the highest level, right? And I think that was my feeling with coming back to as well, with playing with Pat Delmonico and having that relationship and knowing that he's a guy that's always knowing how to get the best out of me and know how to coach me up and prepare me as well as he can to get me ready for game days, right? And that's what the Calgary staff has always done and what they do for their players, right? And just being somebody who's had the chance to go other places and be able to see how other places operate, there's no team in the league that operates like Calgary. And I can say that with supreme confidence. And a lot of guys know that, and they want to be in Calgary to be able to contend for championships, right? You want to go somewhere where you know you got a chance to be immortalized, and that's why you see so many of those guys coming back.
I got to ask you, any hard feelings about how everything went in Edmonton, or is that behind you now?
And I mean, the people that I went through it with is gone now, so I don't really have any hard feelings. It was the same thing. People asked me the same question when I left SAS, right?
Yep.
I don't hold any ill will towards anybody. I understand that football is a business, first and foremost, right? Outside of what we're doing inside those white lines, you got to understand there's a business aspect to it, right? And again, regardless of whatever decisions are made or derived from personal or whatever feelings, the way I look at it is business, right? So I'm looking forward to just coming in, being the best possible football player that I can be for the Calgary Stampeders and looking to contend for a Grey Cup in Saskatchewan.
He is Derek Dennis. A few more with him. He just signed a new contract with the Calgary Stampeders this week. And he's our guest on the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline. I know you joined the guys in the morning a couple of times this season when you were watching the CFL from afar, and certainly you got your podcast as well. How media and analysts and stuff, I know you're focused on playing, and that's what the immediate future is, but how did you like doing a bit of analyst work this past year?
I loved it, man. That's actually been my biggest passion outside of playing the game of sports is I've always wanted to grow up and be in broadcast journalism. I actually went to college and got my degree in broadcast journalism. So that's a huge off-the-field passion of mine that I have. And I'm looking forward to, once my playing career is done, to have that opportunity to transition to that that broadcasting role and being able to do radio or writing or whatever the case may be. I went to, top five journalism school in the U.S., Temple University, a place that's known for putting out, good journalism professionals, and I got trained in pretty much everything, right? I could do weather, I could do sports, I could do entertainment, I could do behind the camera, I could do production. I just love being in journalism as a sense. I love it as a profession. It's something that I feel like a lot of journalists don't get a lot of credit for how crafty you have to be to excel in this industry and be able to know how to tell stories and tell them with some type of charisma and being able to convey a message properly so that people understand what it is that they need to get from that. So I'm a big fan of all journalism, you know, journalists, media people, radio, TV, whatever the case may be. So I'm looking forward to having the opportunity to kind of, you know, get into that as a second career once I'm done being a bone crusher.
Like it. How many, you know, it's funny too, because you mentioned all the way back to college. I mean, some people, they develop that love for media or whatever as their career goes on, but that's been something for you for a long time. And I think, as you just kind of mentioned the tail end of your answer about respect for, you know, the job the media has to do, I feel like that's probably helped you in your career in a lot of ways too, whether it's media scrums or one-on-one interviews. You know that they've got a job to do, and it just helps everybody if you, you know, are a willing participant in that, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. I think as a player, a lot of players don't realize media can actually be your best friend, right? And I don't think a lot of guys understand how to utilize media to their advantage, right? And that's something that I kind of understood, because I am also a fan of not just the game, but I'm also a fan of that media side of things as well. So I always make it a point to kind of introduce myself to whatever team I'm on, the journalist that I'm covering, and be able to build those relationships, whether good or bad. You understand? To me, there is such a thing as bad pub, but if you know how to, you know, operate within the machine, it can always be something that could be advantageous for you, right? So every opportunity that I get to get a chance to do things like this, I always take full advantage of it.
Before we let you go, you mentioned it, you're a fan like everybody else. I'm sure you've been dialed in. Do you have a Super Bowl pick? Who do you like this weekend even? And as you look at, you know, who might be the last team standing in the NFL, do you have a thought?
Honestly, the NFL has been so up and down this year. It's really hard to say, like, with supreme confidence, hey, I think this team is going to be able to hoist the trophy at the end of it. I think the fact of the parity in the NFL this year being kind of even for most places, like you're seeing how it coming down to the last game of the regular season of teams, whether they're getting into the playoffs or out, you know, that being that small, minute difference, I think it's really showing the game of football and how it's always been, how we've been taught it's a game of inches, right? So 1 yard may not seem like a lot, but it could be the difference between you playing in the playoffs or you not, right? So what happened in that Chargers, you know, Raiders game, right? So I think if I had to pick a team right now, I would say Green Bay is looking like a team that's starting to peak. I think Aaron Rodgers has a lot to prove, especially with what he went through with some of that scrutiny with the whole, you know, COVID situation. I think the Buccaneers is always a team that you can't really sleep on, because Tom is just a different animal when it comes to the playoffs. I honestly, I think any team outside of the quote-unquote ones I would have to take a look for, I would probably say the Cowboys, man. I know a lot of Cowboys fans are really excited for what the team is looking like. They had a great year. It's been a long time. People have been expecting the Cowboys to be in this position. But I think if they're able to do the things that they do, especially with their defense getting healthy late in the year, man, I kind of like Dallas as a dark horse pick to be Super Bowl champs.
And finally, I know that there's a lot of conversations about, you know, trying to find ways to make the CFL game better. Of course, us as Canadians, we love it the way it is and some of the uniqueness that comes along with it. As a guy who's played on both sides of the border, I'm curious, I know you're dialed in on the media side of things. I'm sure you've seen it. Your thoughts on the CFL moving to four downs? Do you like the three downs? Where are you on kind of, you know, some of the changes that have been looked at here with the CFL the last couple of years?
Honestly, I think that's a short-term answer that they've been looking at. I don't think you need to change the rules. I think what I've always told people is that the uniqueness of the CFL with having the three downs and the other rules is kind of what made the game fun. It's also what made the game challenging for a lot of Americans to be able to adjust to and play with going from that four down to three downs. A lot of guys just kind of struggle with that jump. As somebody who's kind of done it, it just makes the game very different. Even though there are some basic concepts, I think the uniqueness is something that they can really use to excel, right? I think that's what you're looking at with some of these spring leagues that are starting to pop up, is that they're trying to find ways to be unique, but also let you know, like, hey, it's still the game of football, right? So I think the CFL already has that down pat. I don't think it's really no rule changes are something that doesn't need to be focused on. I think the biggest thing with the CFL is understanding the larger picture in the sense of marketing things that don't have to do with playing the game, all right? I think if they learn how to market the stars better, if they put more money into the machine of marketing, I think I'm starting to understand it now is for the last 2 years, I've been kind of in the sales realm and understanding how important marketing is to helping your business be able to grow and develop new business. And I think that's probably the biggest issue with the CFL is understanding marketing on a larger scale, not just within like small markets and marketing within your city, but just as a whole. So I think the game should stay as it is. I don't think going to four downs is only – all it's going to do is just change the game plan, right? And what four downs does as opposed to three downs do, it just gives you another opportunity to get first down, right? I think the strategic element of the CFL is more unique in the fact that the field is wider. You have one less down to work with. You got one more extra guy on the field that you have to deal with. You got the yard off the ball. You got the roof. You got the big end zones. You got the goalposts in the front, right? All those things are something that makes the game unique, and it adds a different element in the sense of scheming and game planning. So I think those things are stuff that's fun. I've talked to plenty of people who've watched the CFL game for the first time, and they get thrown off by the quirkiness, but once they get into the swing of it, they kind of realize, like, okay, this is kind of fun to watch, right, because it's a fast-paced game, right? Mm-hmm. It's kind of what the arena game was here in the States, right? Arena did, in a sense of, instead of making things bigger, they made it smaller to kind of speed up the game, right, do more scoring, make it back and forth. And again, at the end of the day, I understand where most of the fans come from with, you know, the uniqueness of the game. I think it's just about attracting the casual fans is where the CFL needs to focus on. It's not about affecting the diehards. It's about affecting the casuals. And I think that's what the NFL has learned to master and be able to get somebody who may not be into football, be able to sit down and watch a football game and go, okay, that was kind of fun, right? It's all the elements, the hoopla around it, right? The football parties, the halftime shows, the commercials that you get during the game, right? The entertainment factor of it is what's appealing, right? Not to get actual game. So I think if they learn how to be able to accentuate the entertainment factor and marketing, I think that will help with the brand growing.
That was an unbelievable answer, and we really appreciate your time, Derek. Loved this conversation. Love that you're back in Calgary. I know a lot of fans are excited, and hey, June can't come fast enough. Thanks for the time today, pal. Enjoy the rest of your offseason, and we'll talk to you again very soon.
Thanks, Derek.
For sure. I appreciate the opportunity, fellas. Take care.
Thanks, man.
Derek Dennis, the Bone Crusher of the Calgary Stampeders, joining us on the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline. Come on in and enjoy hockey and football game day specials at 6060 Memorial Drive at Northeast. Pickup and delivery also available at Atlas Pizza, 403-248-3344. A guy who took some media courses and actually has a journalism degree. You can tell that the media is definitely going to be in that guy's future.
Oh, 100%. That's one of those guys where when you can see them start to attaching it to themselves, you know, for him, even before he was playing and now that he's playing, that's the kind of guy that you want to grow your game going forward and that you want in that media capacity. Because, look, at the end of the day, the insight and knowledge that a guy like that can bring and going through his career, he doesn't have to. Like, there's a guy that could jump into a panel discussion on the CFL in a media sense today. Right, but he's still good enough to play, so he's going to go out there and play, get even more in-game experience, more knowledge to pass on to other people, but he's going to know how to articulate it properly and how to do it in the right way. And I think that's such a huge thing when you talk about that. We see it all the time, athlete-to-media transition, Will, and some guys do it really successfully, and some guys sort of have to learn their way. I don't think that's going to be a problem at any point in time for Derek Dennis when he makes that eventual leap to media, whether that's here over the border or south of the border. There's a guy that could go and be successful at that part of the game.
He gave us a lot of time and a lot of insight, and that was a fabulous interview. If you missed it, again, you can get it on the podcast. Subscribe now, Spotify, Apple, Google, or Amazon. Wherever you get your podcast, go find The Big Show and hit subscribe. He's Logan Gordon. My name is Will Nault. We'll take a break. When we come back, we'll kick off the final hour of the program with some headlines, news of the day, and hey, there's a lot to chew on this Friday. Headlines next on The Big Show, Sportsnet 960 The Fan.